Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful for this opportunity, and we hope that you will ask your friends and family throughout the country, throughout the world, to come join us, come and learn with us. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv. This is a place where God has gifted us with people with so much wisdom and knowledge, and we need it for such time as this. And I'm hoping that in spite of the trouble that we've had today, we've had a little bit of technical difficulties, that Ms. Barbara has things under control. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hey, Diana. Well, I don't have things under control, but thankfully the Lord does. And our switchboard is on, and right now it's just us. But, you know, when you were talking about our guests, Diana, and how knowledgeable they are, and they bring that knowledge to us, much needed knowledge to us. And the other thing that they bring us, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, I love their passion for our country, their love of country, this great country that God has blessed. And that is that's the mindset. That's of all of our guests that come on the show. They bring that to us, and it's so inspiring. I hope that our listeners will check out the various podcasts that are available at cityonahill.tv and listen to them. And I tell you, I think they will be as inspired as we are by those great Americans and just great people from all over, even the world, such as Luden in Israel and Luca with the Tea Party Italia. It's just a great blessing, and I hope that they will check those out and be blessed by it.
Well, Ms. Barbara, we always, you know, like to start a show off in prayer, and it is a God show because, as you said, you know, he is really in control of the guests and everything that goes on. And, you know, I know that we get disappointed with mainstream media, and I was so disappointed today. And I thank God for Pat Caddell, who pointed it out so beautifully concisely, clearly, fiercely, in a video about what is wrong, and we're going to discuss some of what he's spoken about. And I'm hoping Kaylin will be joining us as well as our friend Luden from Israel. So that would really be wonderful to have their perspective. But as always, we have to give it to the one from whom all blessings flow. And he gave me the scripture today about the feeding of the 5,000, Miss Barbara. And sometimes I do feel like, you know, does anybody hear the information that we get? But, you know, he just tells us really to keep on. And just as with the feeding of the 5,000, you know, they only had so many loaves of bread and so many fish, yet it fed multitudes. So I'm praying that's what the Lord is saying with our radio show.
Well, I hope and pray so as well. You know, regardless of how many are listening and getting the great messages that are being sent out, regardless, I mean, if it's even a few, Diana, and those few take what they learn and apply it, then there will be change, and it will be significant. So, you know, that's all in the Lord's hands, as you say. And guess what, Diana? I believe we have Kaylin on with us right now. Kaylin, is that you?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing a lot better, thanks.
Oh, good to hear that.
Yeah, we're glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. God is good. Would you like to start us off in prayer, Kaylin?
Yes, ma'am, I will. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now, Father God, for the privilege of being able to share, Father God, information and share your love with others, Father God. We just ask in Jesus' name, Lord, to continue, Father God, to guide us into all manner of truth, Lord. Father, just take control of the radio show today, Father God. Let your Holy Spirit be heard through our voice, Father God. We just ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you bless our country, Father God. Forgive us, Lord God, for turning our backs on you, Lord God. Allow us, Lord, to be able to come back to you, Lord God, and be able to be restored fully. In Jesus' name, Father God. Father, just thank you right now for this radio show, Father. We just ask in Jesus' name that you increase, Father God. Increase us, Father God, 1,000-fold in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, we just thank you right now that you're already doing it in the spirit. And we thank you for the manifestation, Father God, in the natural. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kaylin.
Yes, oh, Kaylin, I am so grateful when I saw you think that you could come on because I know that you want to talk about the Middle East, and I saw, as I mentioned to Ms. Barbara, about the little video from Pat Cadell. So if you don't mind, tell us what your thoughts are on the Middle East, Kaylin.
No, thank you, Diana. Yeah, we have a president who believes that the only way through peace is through pacifism and allowing your enemy, allow yourself to show to your enemy that you're not a threat. Let's take the president's stance on how we should treat our enemies in our foreign policy. Let's take the stance and apply it to our spiritual lives. No matter how much you try to appease the enemy, he will constantly come against you and take what you give him if he meets no resistance. You continue to allow the enemy to take territory. The more you give, the more he'll take from you. That's why it's important we have to have a stance of a red line being drawn saying, no, you cannot have this. And you will not do this. That is the stance the United States needs to take. It's not just the president, though, actually. It's the liberal left, the media as well, who are accomplices to the destruction of America's sovereignty. And what I mean by that is that they believe that we should be beholden to the UN and these other countries who would seek to turn everything they see into this one-world socialist communist regime that runs out of the UN. And a perfect example of socialism run wild is environmentalism. As everybody knows that environmentalists claim to be green, they're actually red. If you understand the teaching of Karl Marx, it's from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. So that means that it has to come from somebody and given to somebody else who didn't earn it. That in itself is evil, because the Bible says that if whoever sows shall reap. If you sowed nothing, you should reap nothing. That is the law of the universe. So why is it that man tries to establish new rule which ultimately brings down society norms, making wrong look right and right look wrong? So let's look at the Middle East and talk about how our ambassador was sacrificed, pretty much. When you give Valerie Jarrett a security detail and don't give our ambassador to Libya the same type of security detail, if not more, what does that say about leadership? That shows we lack leadership and common sense. And Pat Caddell pointed out very clearly that the media has totally ignored this because they want to hide certain truths from people, but let them see other things they perceive as truth, even the things they show you are actually lies. A lie can be considered something like this as well. If you try to paint a picture of something that doesn't really exist or is seen as one way, you try to make it look like something else, it's deception. It's a lie. They say the movie did this. I said from the very beginning that the movie didn't do this. I said that it is a lax policy of the Obama administration that caused our enemies to be bold enough to attack our embassies, not for one day, but this went on for several days. So I just wanted to point out that we have an incompetent, deceptive foreign policy that is headed by Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice, who purposefully tried to mislead the American people. If this was a Republican administration, there would be outcry after outcry from the media. But since it's Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, and Obama, nothing is said. And that's
well,
all I wanted
I agree
to add
with
to that.
You.
That's yeah.
Well, I agree. There should be outcry, and Ms. Barbara, because it is really criminal and it is really a national security concern, it should be the right of Congress to have hearings, should it not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there are those who are calling for Hillary Clinton's resignation, Susan Rice's termination, and others as well. The press secretary was one who perpetuated this deception and lying. And the enemy, you have to know the enemy. The enemy is Islamic doctrine. It's not the Muslims themselves, although those who practice this doctrine become our enemies. But it is the doctrine itself. It is the doctrine of devils. It is wicked. It is evil. And it has been recognized as such throughout the years from the time of Muhammad by leaders. You know, various leaders throughout history have had to stand up, resist the enemy. I like what you said, Kaylin, about we cannot appease the enemy because the enemy will continue to take ground as long as we appease the enemy. You have to resist the enemy. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God, our founding fathers believe. But there have been those over the history of the world that have stood up to Muhammad and his followers practicing this Islamic doctrine. And I was thinking about Charles Martel, the ancestor of Charlemagne in Europe, the king of the Franks, and in about 734, which is just a little over a century after the time of Muhammad. Islam had conquered northern Africa and was moving further into Europe, had Charles Martel, called the Hammer, not hammered the Muslims back, all of history would have, the course of history would have been quite different. And throughout history, now that's you know, let's look at the timeline of Muhammad. He conquered Mecca in A.D. 622, and then from that time until the time of Charles Martel, a little over 100 years, the Muslims had conquered by the sword, because they are a political system as well as a religious system. They had conquered by the sword northern Europe and as far east as India and coming up into Europe in what's now France, where Charles Martel stopped them. But, Diana, I have a quote from Martin Luther, who in the month of October, back in 1517, had nailed a 95 theses to the wall of the church, hoping for a little discussion. But anyway, he began the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation. But I wanted to share a couple of his thoughts on the Muslims, because he was facing it then. Europe was facing it. Here we have Charles V, who defended Europe against the Muslim invasion. And there were 100,000 Muslims surrounding Vienna, Austria in 1529. And that's when Martin Luther wrote this. He said the Islamic Turk, the Turkish, the Ottoman Empire, the Islamic Turk is the rod of the wrath of the Lord our God. If the Islamic Turk's God, the devil, is not beaten first, there's reason to fear that the Turk will not be so easy to beat. Christian weapons and power must do it. The fight against the Muslims must begin with repentance, and we must reform our lives, or we shall fight in vain. The church should drive men to repentance by showing our great and numerous sins, and our ingratitude, by which we have earned God's wrath and disfavor, so that he justly gives us into the hands of the devil, the Turk, the Muslims. So, a few thoughts from Martin Luther this day on the terrorists that we're facing still today, these many years later.
And it's really, really, I think, you know, we can see that all of this really just started descending upon us like a plague when President Obama invited really the Muslim Brotherhood to have such stature when they were officially invited to his Cairo speech. I remember seeing that. And, of course, also all the you know, what he did to Netanyahu, it has really given them so much clout and stature. Can we really doubt that this would happen, Ms. Barbara Kalin, with what this president has done? It's like he has given the key to the United States of America, to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, I think that he's decided to, and this is what, and I'm just going to tell the truth here about the president. If I feel he has a problem with Christianity and American values leading the charge in this country, he seems to feel by his policies, and I'm doing this because my big thing is, what evidence do you have? Well, I'm using deductive reasoning, and I'm going to deduce a theory based on fact of things he's done to show that this is the only outcome I can come up with in my mind as to why he's doing this. Can you remember when he said that people cling to God and their guns?
Yes.
Bitter clingers. You remember when the president said, this is not a Christian nation, but a nation made up of many different religions? He feels disdain for the bourgeoisie, is what they're going to call it, the middle class, white Christian family. The reason why I'm talking about this is because he constantly tries to inject Islam inside of American culture. There is
That's
no
right,
point
man.
In history where Islamic culture has influenced American values. Matter of fact, Islamic culture is in direct, it is the polar opposite of American values. What
right.
country beats women in public? What Islamic country has rights for women? Zero. None. None at all. And they try to turn around and say that women are oppressed here because of birth control. Ask a woman in Iran, Saudi Arabia, ask a woman in Iraq, Egypt, Libya, ask a woman how they're treated compared to how we treat our women here. We don't cover up our women in cloaks. We don't mutilate our women here. That happens in Islamic countries. So why would a president constantly try to inject Islamic culture in a society that rejects such culture? It is absolutely insane to do that. That's what that goes to a greater point, that liberals are missing the point. And I will never understand how a homosexual will be a liberal. The reason being is because if you ask someone in an Islamic country about homosexuality, it doesn't exist. Because if you are open homosexual in an Islamic country, you are killed, stoned to death, hung, whatever you want to call it, you're done with, finished. And
right.
I just don't understand.
That's right.
How
you know,
they allow.
You're right, Kaylin, and I appreciate you giving those evidences, those proofs, and backing up your statement. And he does try to inject into our American culture a credibility of Islam. He is constantly injecting it, and he's using his bully pulpit, that platform that every president of the United States has. He's using his bully pulpit quite differently from any other president in the past. And it is, you can look at it. You see it. If we have eyes to see, I mean, we have to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to see it.
Mm.
That constant injection of Islam. And, I mean, my goodness, what he did with the space program to shut it down, to shut down the space program and instruct those involved that they had to give credit to Islam, and they had to make the Muslims feel better about their self-esteem because they didn't have anything to do with it. They've got to give them some of the credit for the space program, though they had nothing to do with it. You know, I mean, it's on and on and on. And I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Then one other thing I want to say, and I say this every time, if you've heard me say it before, that's okay. Because sometimes we need to hear something again and again before it really sinks in. But the Muslim Brotherhood was founded in 1928 in Egypt. And their stated goal, their object, their goal, their whole reason for existence is to destroy Western civilization from within. Destroy Christianity wherever they can destroy it. But to destroy Western civilization from within means that they have to infiltrate our country. They have to infiltrate our government. They have to infiltrate the media. They have to infiltrate our colleges and universities and every institution that has any influence over the minds and hearts of the American people. Because remember, their goal that they have said and never, ever backed away from is that they are determined to destroy Western civilization and Christianity from within. It's something we need to remember, don't you think, Diana?
Oh, indeed, Ms. Barbara. I just thank God y'all are, you know, covering this. And I agree, Ms. Barbara, we need to hear it over and over again. And And this morning, one of the troubling things I saw was really a crucified picture of a Christian, supposedly. We don't know for sure. But one thing I do know for sure, because I researched it, is, you know, there was an article showing that yes, the Muslim Brotherhood is using crucifixion. You know, that is this is their form of democracy against the Christians in Egypt. And so, you know, I think about the video of the lady that was saying, you know, we've got to vote for Obama because he gives me a phone, a cell phone, you know, an Obama phone. And, you know, she does not realize what she is going to lose by really over something as little as an Obama phone. It's almost like a robotic reaction. You know, you give me something, you know, it reminds me of how psychologists used to teach us in school, that you give, you know, somebody something, and of course, you know, they're almost beholden to you, kind of like a Pavlov's dog, you know. And I think that's what we're seeing, is the Obama administration keeps on giving, you know, in hopes of getting that vote. But I just pray, Lord, let the people see what they're selling, really, through their vote, is their children's future.
You know what, Ms. Dinah, though? The person with that mentality, that waiting on the government to do something for me mentality, that person is entrapped in a poverty empire. And I'm going to write about this later about poverty empire, but basically what the welfare system has done is they have created a kingdom of poverty. There are generations of people trapped in this poverty empire, and their public schools are failing them, failing to educate because, and this is based on my own personal experience, because people entrapped in a poverty empire are willing to take whatever they can get because they see no hope for themselves because they're entrapped in this poverty. Because as long as the government will give it, people will take it. But the government programs need to be reinstituted to not keep you trapped in this poverty empire so they can create permanent voting citizens, but to uplift you out of the poverty empire into, or inject you into, middle class America. And it can happen. But as long as we have people trapped in this empire of poverty that people have created in inner cities and the ghettos, and you look at it in a sense of we have cities, whole entire neighborhoods entrapped in poverty. And the Democrats could care less. And that is the truth. Because if you want someone, if you want to care about somebody and care for someone to lift them out of poverty, you don't keep giving them free stuff. You give them incentives to go out and get it on their own. And if you have three generations of welfare recipients, what do you think their mentality is going to be? You know, their mentality is not going to be to try to get lifted up out of where I am. Their mentality is, this is all I have. And all I have to do is vote for this person, and he's going to make sure he takes care of me. That's it. And that is the mentality that Woodrow Wilson injected into the black community. And it's the same thing that liberals like Frances Fox Piven, who has herself said that people are born into a sect of society, and that's where they stay. But actually, the conservative believes that a person can be born on any level of poverty, and because of the system we have, they can be lifted out of their situation. And that is a godly mindset, not a mindset of people are born into a sect of society and they need to have equal opportunity with equal results as well. All that's evil, which goes back to the point of our foreign policy. Why do we feel, and this is something that I've, you know, I had to deal with when dealing with President Bush, was we try to put democracy in places where it's not wanted. If people want a republic, a democratic society, they will do what our founding fathers did, and that's pull themselves up by their bootstraps, get people together, and come against their government. Now, that's what we did here with help from other countries, mind you. But what's happened, what the U.S. is doing is we got it twisted. See, we're helping people who are terrorists by nature. For example, the reason why the Libya attack was so important was because when we helped overthrow that government, we gave them weapons. And let it come to find out that one of the weapons killed that used to attack our embassy was a U.S. weapon, heads are going to roll. But that's what they're going to find out, is that the weapons that they used to fire on our embassy were the weapons we gave them to help rise up against their government. It happened to Russia. It's happening to us. That's why the Russians know this will not work. They tried to bring about a communist regime in Afghanistan, and they went bankrupt trying to do it. It's not going to work. That's where Russia made their mistake, was they tried to spread communism into places where it wasn't going to take. Because in Islamic countries, they're not communists, they're fascists. It is a fascist regime in these places such as Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia. See, we don't talk about Saudi Arabia because they supply us with our oil, but truth be told, people don't have rights in Saudi Arabia. People aren't treated fairly in Saudi Arabia. I asked somebody the other day, why do we choose to free Egypt and Libya and not North Korea? Why not Iran? Why not Saudi Arabia? Because that doesn't fit the model that Hillary Clinton, the Obama camp, and frankly George Soros has for the world. Because that's who's really behind the man with the money, is the man behind the curtain people don't see. This man has caused entire countries to go bankrupt. And why do we allow him to even visit our White House is beyond me. Well, I know I just named three or four or five different things just then. But I'm attempting to tie this together. That's all.
You are. You're doing a good job of it, too. So, go ahead.
Oh, we need it. I wish you were over there on CBS or NBC or ABC, Caitlin. But that's just it. It's a concerted effort to not inform the American public, and that's what Pat Caddell was saying, and we agreed with, because I've always thought of this, too. You know, whoever controls the media controls the country. I mean, that should not happen here in the free United States. And Ms. Barbara, what do we do? Because now we know, as Pat Caddell says, and you have said it too in the past, which is the enemy is really our media.
Well, they are. I mean, they have been. They are totally dominated by the George Soros ideas and that mentality, and they are spreading it among the American people. But, you know, going back to what Caitlin was saying about, well, what do you expect them to think after three generations of government dependence and welfare and all of this? Exactly. We need to look at what the policies are and look ahead and see what are some of the ramifications. We can see that poverty and creating that poverty empire, that is the only result that you will see from these policies, welfare policies, of extended times, allowing people to continue to have a handout instead of a hand up, you know, to continue and extend the times for welfare and food stamps and unemployment checks, and instead of limiting them, and instead of them being temporary, but then the government policies allow them to continue generation after generation until this is where we are in this country, and really in the world, over in Greece and Italy and Spain and all the other places they're reaching that place. But it is the logical result of policies. Caitlin, you mentioned Woodrow Wilson. He was a racist. He not only was a progressive, as Hillary Clinton has said she is. He was a radical liberal, progressive, socialist, communist, and it was through Woodrow Wilson's administration that we got the 16th Amendment to the Constitution, income tax, where the government would be allowed to have to pry into your personal affairs and papers to find out how much income you make, how much money you make, and then tax you on it. That was illegal. That was unconstitutional. That was immoral, considered immoral by the founding fathers, that any such thing would be we would be taxed on the income. Under Woodrow Wilson, the racist Woodrow Wilson, the progressive the Woodrow Wilson, we got the Federal Reserve System, which was supposed to prevent recessions and depressions. And this was in 1913. And look how many, we got the Great Depression after that. And and so forth. So, you know, you can look clearly, and Kaylin, I love the way you just take it on, and you do look clearly, and then you tie it all together, because it is all together, but there are so many facets of it. But you know, other countries, what you said about nation building, how wrong that is, that they can do it the same way our country did it. That's the only way it can be done. But you know, the founding fathers knew that our government was made, our constitutional republic, and this plan of government in the Constitution, that was made only for a moral people, a virtuous people. And they knew that morality could only come through biblical knowledge. And because morality is going to be, you know, everything is someone's morality, but they knew that it had to be God's truth to be built upon, to be real morality. So you're not going to have a republic, a representation of the people under the rule of law. And Diana, you mentioned Egyptian democracy. Well, they actually have. What we're seeing in Egypt is Egyptian democracy, and that is mob rule. That's what our founding fathers considered a democracy would be, a mobocracy. And that's simply majority rule, and it looks like the majority over there in Egypt are affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood. So that is their Egyptian democracy. They're going to have it the way they want it, majority rule. And we see the results of that, a democracy, a mobocracy. You know, so I thank God we were established as a constitutional federal republic and not a democracy.
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know, it goes back to, I think, you know, what the founding fathers really started this nation up with, which is following the Word of God. And they follow the Word of God that says, choose ye leaders that fear God. And that is so that it may go well for the rest of us. And we're seeing the effects of that. But I wanted to point out something that you brought to mind, you know, Kaylin. People do not have the heroes today in the food stamp program. You know, it's more of like a, really, it's almost like an addiction. As you were saying, you know, it is like a kingdom. It is, you know, it's they brag about how much they can get without having to work, in essence, and how much they can lie to the government, when we know right now that the government is promoting lies. This administration knows full well it is doing to the people. It's promoting lies, cheating. But, you know, I just think about the Condoleezza Rice and the Colin Powell. You know, if they had a chance to really be heard by these people, which they're not really getting heard, you know, they don't, a lot of them don't even watch the RNC to hear that kind of talk. But, you know, if they could see the hope at the end of the tunnel, but they're not seeing that. Instead, they're giving more of this food stamp welfare drug, you know, so that they can be kept, as some people have said, you know, really the farm. Or the slavery mentality. But I do think it's going back to that good leadership. We need that good leadership. But in the meanwhile, what do we do, Ms. Barbara, Kaylin? I just think, you know, I know we've got this election coming up, but there are so many out there that are still so focused on the fact that, you know, Obama's going to give me a phone or Obama's going to get... How do you get through those people at this short span of time, Kaylin, Ms. Barbara?
Yeah, there's a... See, I know there's a lingering disdain out there among minorities, particularly in the African-American community, of a feeling of ownership when it comes to the presidency because of their own... I really can't put my... I can put my finger on it because I've been there, but after Christ, it gets erased. That disdain you have because of the racism that you encounter here in the South, being an African-American or being black, the amount of racism I had to overcome just fresh out of high school or while I was in high school, and I would go to the mall and I would be profiled and, you know, different things like that. Those tiny things build up in you. As an adult, they tend to take up a life of their own, not to minimize what someone has gone through or how someone was victimized. However, there comes a point in time when you have to look at life between good and evil and understand that good and evil is really no color. It's just people taking advantage of people. Me personally, I've encountered racism, but I've never said that all this type of people are this, or all this type of people are that. I look at everything through the eyes of Christ, being there's good and evil in this world. And the evil will always try to overcome the good, but you have to be the bigger person in the matter. You can't look at life through a spectrum of color. You can't look at life through a spectrum of even politics. You got to look at life through the eyes of the Lord, being good and evil. Those who try to take and those who try to give. The Bible says that blessed are those that give. You have to understand that you cannot take or tax an upper echelon of society to lift the bottom up. It just won't resonate. And I'm gonna make a point before I have to go about the voting this time around. The media has made it their stated mission to get Obama reelected. I don't know if it's white guilt from some of these media personalities. I don't know what it is with them or their hippie values that they are still carrying on the inside of them, or just the disdain for the middle class to the point where they feel elite, they feel they know what's best for the country, and they're going to give us what we think we need. And it has to stop. And the only people that can do it are the American people. But I feel, you know, guys, that people are too tied up in their own problems to understand that they're going to wake up one morning and the freedom that they once enjoyed, they no longer have. And they'll be wondering, when did it happen and why? Well, if you had been paying attention, for the past few years, there's been people screaming the Tea Party, people screaming, telling you, hey, wake up. This is a Marxist revolution in its infancy, and you must head it off now. Because with Occupy Wall Street, with the institutions and colleges, with the NEA running our school system, with gangsters in government, you have a system in which they can't be stopped. The media complex, the government media complex, they got that. They got the educational system, they got that. So now they have the Common Core standards where they're going to centralize everything, and the parents will have no say-so of what goes on in those classrooms. But still, people will not awaken to the monster that is Marxism, that tries to centralize everything. But until somebody's freedom's taken away, no one ever wakes up. This is why you have to pay attention. Jesus said, you hypocrites, you can tell when it's going to rain, you can tell this, you can tell that, but you cannot tell the signs of the times. Basically, Jesus is saying, if you can look at these simple things and see things happening, why can't you look at anything else and see the things that are happening? There should have been a warning. That should have been a sign to people when our Libyan ambassador was drugged through the streets, possibly sodomized and killed. That should have told somebody, hey, wait a minute, something's not right here. or that the unemployment rate has stayed at a steady 9%. Somebody should have known, hey, wait a minute, this can't be right. Someone should have woke up by now when they could see on television a show called The New Normal. Something's not right. And for any pastor on the national level, I just don't understand. We have pastors who have access to the 24-hour news cycle but refuse to do it. Either they're A, don't care, or B, don't care, because of the only two options they have. I mean, I look at preachers on a national level, you hear nothing from them. And I ask God, what's going on? And he simply came back with this: those who have ears to hear will hear. Yeah. And that's it.
Oh, you said it really concisely. I mean, clearly, Kaylin, I cannot thank you enough for that, Ms. Barbara. We almost need a soundbite of that going on the internet. It is so good.
Yeah.
And I saw a picture
good,
today,
Diana.
Kaylin. I think we need to. I hate to say it. It's just like a baby that is killed. You know, we don't have the ugly pictures of abortion. We don't have the ugly pictures of what Muslims do to Christians. You know, I saw that one, a replica of one. They say it's fake, but they do it. They hang Christians on the cross. They crucify them. They say that
mm-hmm.
they do that. So I almost think, Kaylin, that we need to have pictures. We really need
yeah,
to be posted those pictures.
And I've been holding back from that. I've been holding back from putting the graphic pictures up, but somebody needs to see it.
I think you're right. I'm almost tempted to print one and put it on the back of my car. This is the abomination.
You know, y'all, the hangings and the beheadings and all the manner of evil that is perpetrated under Islamic doctrine, that's not an aberration. That is the norm. That is the normal coming from Islamic doctrine. Those who really believe it and really adhere to it, they are the good Muslims practicing in the manner of Muhammad, his teaching. And so these hangings and these beheadings and this female genitalia, what is it called, Diana?
Mutilation, Barbara.
Yes, that's it. You know, this is the norm under Islamic doctrine, and I think any time that anything is shown like that, you know, the media has had their way in calling it radical Islam. Let me tell you something. Islam is radical. The doctrine is radical. And those who practice with beheadings and hangings and terrorism, they are practicing Islam. And I think it's so important that we get that word out, because the media, as we said, are not doing it. And that's not being done even on Fox.
I'm sorry, Ms. Barbara.
Let me just direct
go ahead.
Just to our podcast by John Bernard, any podcast that we have at cityonthehill.tv with John Bernard, you'll learn more about Islam and the doctrine of Islam, and also a podcast with Dr. Daniel Chieste and his Escape from Darkness and various podcasts. Diana?
Oh, Ms. Barbara, that got me. We need to get Dr. Chieste back on again. No, I wanted to say that I tell you, I sat there one night and I heard Fox News. There were three people on the panel, and I think one was an ABC journalist or somebody like that from one of the mainstream that was on with the other two. And he spoke about the form of death of Stevens as having been, you know, from asphyxiation, and the other two did not mutter a thing against that. I mean, Kaylin, when they don't speak the truth and they allow it, I think it gives the enemy the platform. So, you know, to me, that raises a Fox in a stature of, well, collusion. If you're not shining the light of truth and you're allowing that to go on without anything being said, I think that makes you a party to that, you know, the passing of the untruth.
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you refuse to let the truth be known or don't fully show the truth, then you are being an accomplice to the deception of the media. And, you know, we're in a, I don't know if people realize it or not, but we're in a state of emergency. I know we don't seem like we are, but we are definitely, are in a state of emergency because of the different components that we have that have been taken over by radicals who seek to reshape the face of the country. And while people watch reality TV, baseball games, football season, the machine keeps turning and grinding people through it. And it's going to have to be the church to wake people up. It's going to have to be the soul of America, which is the church itself, to come to an agreement that we have to wake the people. We have to be the light that shines. Jesus said, you don't take a light and hide it. If it's turned out, it's no good. It's good for the dung heap. That's it. So we have to continue to stand for the values that our founding fathers did. And make no mistake about it, that the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, all that was divinely inspired. If it wasn't divinely inspired, then it wouldn't stand against the assault that is coming against it now. That's why it's so resilient. That's why the document itself is so powerful, because it's divinely inspired. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. You're absolutely right, Kaylin. And there is not one thing in the Declaration or the Constitution that is contrary to the Word of God. The principles are there throughout those documents. And John Quincy Adams called the Declaration and the Constitution two parts of one whole, that they go together. Mm-hmm. And we know they go together. The Declaration's our national creed, what we believe, our principles, that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that we, in order to secure those rights, we establish and institute governments. But there's nothing in the Declaration and the Constitution that is contrary to the Word of God, and the principles are there. If you know the Bible, you will recognize the principles therein. The books of the Bible, the chapters, the verses are not stated, but the truths and the principles are embedded in that Declaration and that Constitution because, as you said, they were divinely inspired and also put pen to paper by those who knew God, who knew His Word, who knew the Bible backwards and forwards, and those truths of God's Holy Scripture ingrained in them from their childhood, and so it is. It has stood the test of time, as you said, and because it is divinely inspired, and it is the church that's going to have to wake up and then wake up our nation. It is the soul of America. The church is the conscience of our nation and the soul of America. And I agree with you, Kaylin. We are in a state of emergency. And the only cure for our state, our condition, is to turn back to the one who created us, the one who helped us establish this nation based on His principles, and the one who's blessed our nation.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I just asked God for a word, and I'm turned to the same thing, really. I think that you mentioned these words earlier, Kaylin, which is I'm looking at Acts 28, verse 5, says, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when He said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And I guess we're coming at that time where we all, God is so good, Miss Barbara, that we know who to give all this to. And he is almighty, and he is able. And I just praise God for this opportunity. Thank you for the words of clarity spoken, Kaylin. We do need to let it ring out. You spoke with such anointing, and, you know, I just love it. I know Miss Barbara does, but the things that were said were truth, and they were said out of love. We have this nation that is a gift from God. It blesses us and our children. And I think, Miss Barbara, Kaylin, I think of the heart of Pharaoh that was turned. Moses kept on as God had asked him to share, you know, that the Pharaoh's heart would turn. But it never turned until it was to the point where God's judgment was on that child, that firstborn. And I dare say many parents do not and will not look at it until something happens. And that child that they love dearly is placed before their eyes. And I'm placing it right now before your eyes, because the future of that child, and not that child, just that child, is really at stake. We are talking about a radical future. Everything is ready. We have a leader who has the key to this nation and opens it boldly by inviting the enemy, the Muslim Brotherhood, in, to the point that freedom of speech may even be taken. This may be the last election where we can even speak freely. It is that serious. As Kaylin said, we're in a state of emergency. And with that in mind, Ms. Barbara, I just thank God for the lessons of history. Nothing is new. You know, George Washington, he knew what they were facing. It was very grim. It was very dark. Yet, he bowed his head and bent his knee. And I pray that every listener will do that tonight, and others to ask them to do that tonight, not just with us right now, but every day. We need to be asking God for mercy, for help. And we know what he can do is the feeding of the 5,000, and really with the birth of this nation, we know he is able. But it's going to take a repentant people, right, Miss Barbara, Kaylin?
That's right. That's right. God's people.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to bow out now. I'm going to have to leave you guys. I got to get back to work. But I like to say that it's a blessing once again to be able to have a voice on this show. I just appreciate both of you. I love you both. And I'll be talking to y'all real soon, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Kaylin.
We love you too.
Thank you. Love you.
Miss Barbara, thank you.
God bless you.
Oh, Miss Barbara, would you mind closing us and just giving me a little reminder, Miss Barbara, because, the people need to remember. I think it's just like I heard the story the other day about a young girl who was crossing the sea. You know, she was trying to reach the goal line, which is the shoreline, but a mile away from the goal line, the shoreline, she asked to be pulled in, so she lost. And they asked her, why did you quit? You were so close. You were just a mile away. And I don't know how far she had to, how far she had to swim. But she said she could not see the shoreline. She could not see her goal. So she tried it again. And this time around, she beat the competitor, her nearest competitor, by 2 hours. And Miss Barbara, they asked her, what was the difference? She said, this time I had a picture in my mind of the shoreline, of my goal. Miss Barbara, I know that the founding fathers was given by God a vision for a future for their posterity. And that's why they fought. It wasn't for money. It was for their children and their children's children. Would you help us paint a picture in our mind of what our shoreline is?
Well, the shoreline, the goal that we have to reach is to turn back to God himself. And when we do that, when we turn back to God and learn of him and learn of his ways and begin to walk in his ways and apply his truth to all of life, then he blesses, you know, but he is the goal, reaching back to him, going back to him. That's the goal, and to doing what is right in his sight. The goal is not just to turn back the clock to the 1950s in the United States, where there really was safety for our children, our communities. The schools were okay, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We were a superpower, and, you know, that was nice. That was nice. But that was the fruit. That was the fruit of our hearts turned toward God, to honor him, to acknowledge him, to do what he says is right, to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. You know, and all the blessings come with him, not apart from him. They'll never come apart from him and apart from his truth. So could we pray together, Diana?
Oh, yes, please, Miss Boss.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for all the blessings that we have enjoyed in this country, for all the freedom, the opportunities, the prosperity. Father, that a person, any person, could start at the bottom and work their way to the top. Father, that this was a country where dreams could come true, that we could determine, under being subject to you, Father, could determine the course for our lives, and that we could work and apply ourselves to do so, Father, and you would open doors before us, Lord, and provide those opportunities. You, O God, by your mighty hand, by your hand, O God, you open doors that no man can close. It's by your doing. And Father, we're so sorry that we have forgotten you, that we have neglected you. Father, that we have ignored you, that we have rejected you, Father, in your ways. And we've allowed all this to take place in our world, in our country, in our culture. We have allowed it, Father. We have not resisted all this that has come upon us, Lord. And we're sorry, though. We're so sorry that we have failed you, having been given so much, oh God. And we failed you. We failed to continue to do what was right and uphold your standards, Father, so that your blessings could come upon us and overtake us the way you desire them to. So, Father, more than anything, we pray for a return to you, Father. Turn our hearts toward home, toward you, oh God. You are our home. You are our safety. You are our shelter. Oh, Father, and in you is all the wisdom and all the power. Thank you, Father. Turn us back to you, Lord, and we shall have what we need. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the precious name of Jesus Christ. And we speak the name of Jesus Christ once again over this nation, Father, and we plant the flag. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King over our land once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And Ms. Barbara, I'd like to add, if I may. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your word is a lamp unto our feet. Lord, we thank you that our names are written in heaven, Lord, that we put our faith and trust in you. And Lord, we just thank you for the sacrifice you made in giving us your Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord, and for his obedience out of love for us. And Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this nation, Lord, where many, many have called upon you and asked you to be their Lord. And Lord, you've raised up generations so wonderfully, and you have let your light shine so beautifully that, Lord, the world has been blessed.
Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you said in your word, man does not live on bread alone. We thank you for that reminder. So, Lord, I just ask that throughout the land that people will open their Bibles, that people will read your word, that they will stand on your word, that they will realize the true meaning, Lord. You said, not by power nor by might, but by thy spirit. And time and again, Lord, your word tells us how you have stood in the gap for us, how you've lifted your hand upon, Lord, the enemy, Heavenly Father, so that we could not be destroyed, so that your people who are called, Lord, by your name, could not be destroyed. Lord, we ask for mercy. We don't deserve any, just as we don't deserve the amazing grace of your Son giving himself up for us. But, Lord, we ask for our children and our children's children. We ask for your mercy upon them. We ask that your people who are called by your name will open their eyes and see the truth, that that is what's at stake. It is the souls, Lord, of many future generations, Lord, and those here now. And, Lord, we ask that you continue to shine the light on this nation a little longer, Heavenly Father. Give us godly leaders, Lord. Give our Christian leaders in Congress, Lord, uncommon favor, uncommon wisdom that only comes from your counsel, Lord, as to what laws to pass, as to whether investigations need to be made. And Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, just ask, Lord, that you made a way for the Jewish nation to go through the Red Sea. Lord, we ask that you help the American people to go through these times, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we want to look at you. We want to look at you, as Ms. Barbara said, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We know your promises are true. And Lord, we know that one day it will be over and we will be with you for eternity. But, Lord, we ask for many more to come to know you as Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, that the results are yours. We make a plea because you said, Lord, to come boldly to the throne of grace. And we ask humbly, Lord, and we love you, and we ask that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Ms. Barbara, well, thank you, listeners, for being with us on City on a Hill. We're so grateful for this opportunity. We ask that you invite the Lord of the universe to come and tell you what to do. He will. He does it to us who ask daily, moment to moment, but you have to ask. So we ask that you invite him in and find out what we know, that he is good and his love, yes, it endures forever. It is the greatness of America. It is God. So we thank you for listening to City on a Hill. Please go to our website, www.cityonahill.tv, and get blessed. Listen to our podcast and share it. Be informed to make a difference for such a time as this. Goodbye.